It's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
All right, so my first question has to do with the immune system. It comes from a gentleman named Alan. He says, I'm getting up there in age, but I am healthy, and I know it's important to improve my immune system. So which is better, extra D or C? Thanks, Alan. The immune system is so important to a longevity regimen. You know, I work at Life Extension. I'm the senior scientist at Life Extension Foundation, and, you know, we are one of the leaders in longevity research, and I think, you know, we're finally starting to understand the importance of a healthy immune system to any sort of longevity regimen. And matter of fact, the last couple of years, we've come out with a lot of new products supporting the immune system, research, protocols. And so I think you're onto something that's really important, Alan. And so your specific question is about D or C. And, you know, to answer your question, they're both important. I don't want to say D is more important than C or C more. I don't want to say that. I mean, they're both critical vitamins, cofactors to many aspects of the immune system. But here's kind of how a nice way to break up what they do and to compare them. So vitamin D is really important to managing the immune response. All of your immune cells, especially what are known as the helper cells, like the CD4 cell, or any cell that is involved in orchestrating, managing the entire immune response, has a vitamin D receptor. I mean, that's pretty darn important. We also know, too, that vitamin D is able to help the expression of certain immune proteins that then allow that immune response to even be enhanced. So vitamin D is in the management and the enhancement of the immune system in general, the immune response in general. I mean, that's, Alan, that's pretty darn important. I don't know. Now, vitamin C, there's some evidence that plays a role in how T cells mature, when the bone marrow produces young immune cells. Some of those cells will travel to the thymus. And vitamin C, some new evidence has shown that vitamin C is acting on the thymus gland and helping those T cells to mature into to T cells that are ready to fight viruses and bacteria. So, even in antibody production, vitamin C probably, plays an important role there. And it's just a good antioxidant for the immune system. So, it's hard to compare which is better. If you back me up into a corner, Alan, and really made me give you an answer, I would say vitamin D. I would definitely be doing anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000 units a day. I think that's a good dose for people. You want to shoot for a blood level of vitamin D, probably between 50 and 70 nanograms per mil. And you want to do a dose that gets you to that level. Conventional doctors will tell you that's too high, but they're wrong. Most of my MD colleagues shoot for a vitamin D blood level around 30. In my opinion, that's deficient. Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to prevent scurvy, then a blood level of 30 is fine. But if you're trying to improve cytokine production and the management of the immune response, it's not enough. It's deficient. Vitamin C, anywhere between 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams a day is probably where you need to be with dose when it comes to improving the immune response. But I guess, fine, Alan, I'll answer your question. Put D before C. It's just my opinion. All right, next question had to do with something I didn't know anything about. So I had one of the Life Extension health advisors help me out with this. What's your take on the failed fast food ban in Los Angeles? So we had to look this up. This came from the NewsRx Health and Science report. We found this in February 27th of this year. Fast food ban in L.A. fails to improve diets or cut obesity, study finds. A Los Angeles ordinance designed to curb obesity in low-income areas by restricting the opening of new fast food restaurants basically was shown that it didn't work. The the policy is a zoning regulation that restricts the opening or expansion of any standalone fast food restaurants, and they list exactly where, but basically south and southeast Los Angeles. The areas subject to the rule have about 700,000 residents. While the rule was not the nation's first local regulation limiting fast food outlets, it was the first one presented as a public health measure by advocates. And bottom line, it failed. It failed to reduce fast food consumption or obesity rates in the targeted neighborhoods, according to a new RAND Corporation study, which, of course, RAND Corporation is a nonprofit global policy think tank. And so since the fast food restrictions were passed in 2008, overweight and obesity rates in South Los Angeles and Southeast Los Angeles and other neighborhoods targeted by the law have increased faster than in other parts of the city or other parts of the country. So the ban actually resulted in a increase in obesity and fast food consumption greater than other areas, which is very interesting. This was published in the Journal of Social Science and Medicine. Let's see, I have a quote here. This is from Roland Sturm, lead author of the study. The South Los Angeles fast food ban may have symbolic value, but it has had no measurable impact in improving diets or reducing obesity. This should not come as a surprise. Most food outlets in the area are small food stores or small restaurants with limited seating that are not affected by the policy. So going back to the listener's question, what's your take on the failed fast food ban in LA? It didn't work. It doesn't look like. I think that. We are coming more to understand, you know, fast food with the preservatives, the salts, the sugar are quite addicting. And just because you ban new stores from popping up, it doesn't mean people aren't going to seek out that kind of food. You can't just ban a fast food place without replacing it with areas where people can go to buy fresh food, you know. And in many of these areas in Southeast LA, they don't really have access to that kind of fresh food. So it may sound good to ban a bad type of food, but if you don't help them replace it with healthy food, they're just going to seek it out elsewhere. And that's exactly what happened. And apparently they really found it and ate more and obesity rates went up. And so it was quite the reverse results that they thought they were going to have. So I think, I've seen some, shows. As a matter of fact, when I was with Suzanne Summers, she had her show on the Lifetime Network. And when we were filming one day, one of the other guests that was on, and I can't remember his name, and I apologize for that, but he is from LA, and he has bought out certain vacant lots and has turned them into gardens, and he's growing fresh produce for people, and he's allowing people to come in. Of course, believe it or not, the LA County tried to shut him down because he didn't have a permit. I don't know where it stands now, but maybe that's what we need to do. So you limit the number of fast food restaurants that can open up, but then you also supply places where they can go, community markets where they can buy fresh food, because that's what you're going to have to do. I mean, so just because you limit a fast food restaurant, but you don't replace it with something healthy, well, they still got to eat. And I think that's what they were able to show here. So that's kind of my take. Again, this was published in the Journal of Social Science and Medicine. Real quickly, before the ban, I'm going back to this study and that was reported in NewsRx Health and Science. Before the ban was passed, as well as 3 years later, the average body mass index and the proportion of people who were obese or overweight were higher in South Los Angeles than in other areas of the city. The gap continued to widen from 2008 to 2012 when they had this ban. Listen, yeah, we got to stop eating the fast food, absolutely, but we got to give people healthier options. Healthy, fresh food. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.